ओम ज्ञानति मनन्दस्या गिनन्दना सलकया शक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो महावन्याय कृष्णप्रेमपदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नम्ने गौरत्विष नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Sanatana Goswami, although having taken birth in an aristocratic Brahmin family, somehow or other had been forced to engage in the Mohammedan government service. Because both Sanatana Goswami, along with his brother, were extraordinary students, and they stood out so much that the local ruler of Bengal, the Nawab Hussain Shah, identified them and made them an offer that they could not refuse, one of those. So anyway, they wound up becoming ministers in the Muslim government. And in their first meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramakeli, they claimed themselves to be the most fallen. They said, "We are more fallen than Jagai and Madai." Jagai and Madai were brahmanas who had fallen down, who had done any illicit activities possible. They had they set houses on fire. They were always drunk. They had murdered. They had done any sinful activity. And these two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, claimed to be more fallen than Jagai and Madai. And they also gave reasons. They said, because by becoming ministers in the government, we supported so many Jagais and Madais. Not one, but so many. Therefore, our sins are unlimitedly greater. Therefore, we are most fallen. At that stage, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please give up this humility. I cannot tolerate it any longer. And he picked them up and embraced the brothers and at that time gave him these names, Rupa and Sanatan, because they had also Muslim names, Dabir Khas and Sakir Manak. So in this way, we see how the first qualification of Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami was their extraordinary humility. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is described that one who has good qualities is like a tree laden with many fruits, and that the branches of the tree are naturally bowing down. Therefore, one who is very qualified is naturally humble. So it is explained, is naturally bowing down. As Maharaj stated about Lord Brahma, who is so qualified, and it is said that Lord Brahma has a body made of pure intelligence. He is considered to be the most intelligent living entity in the entire universe. Because every living entity has been granted some intelligence. It's just something has been given to us and that's it. Maharaj said some are dull and some are brainy. Well, if you don't have it, you can't really attain it. But Lord Brahma is the most intelligent in the entire universe. And he concluded that he understood something about the Supreme Lord that he cannot be understood. So a Vaishnava in this way is having this quality of humility. All Vaishnavas are worshipable. It is stated in the Padma Purana, Aradhanam Sarvesam Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tat Paratram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. It is said that even more worshipable than the Supreme Lord is the devotee. He is more worshipable than Krishna, because it is the devotee that comes close to us. It is the devotee that actually brings us Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would say that his purports were more important than the verses. He writes these, gives us translations of original Sanskrit scriptures, translates the verses, and then gives an explanation, a purport. And he said, the purports are more important than the verses. How is this possible? The words of the Shastra, are the words of the scriptures not more important than the words of the explanation? No, Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada meant it was more important for you, because you will not be able to understand these verses, yes, without my explanations. Therefore, these explanations give you access to this transcendental knowledge. Without these explanations, one will not understand. Without the mercy of the pure devotee, how can one approach Krishna? How can one even know Krishna? How can one properly understand the amazing refined qualities of the Supreme Lord? How can we understand? So every Vaishnava is worshipable. Anyone who has rendered some service to the Lord is an extraordinary personality, because he has the grace of the Lord. Every Vaishnava is invested with the power to give blessings. It doesn't matter what the level of advancement of that Vaishnava is, because every Vaishnava has pleased Krishna. Therefore, we are always looking for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So we want every Vaishnava to think favorable of us, because when the Vaishnavas think favorable of us, then Krishna may think favorable of us. There are also, although every Vaishnava has this potency to offer blessings, there is also distinction amongst Vaishnavas. And we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a discussion with Satyaraj Khan in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is identifying three levels of Vaishnavas. And he said there is... Satyaraj Khan came and inquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the duty in life? He said, Vaishnav Sevana Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan, to serve the Vaishnavas and to always chant the holy name of the Lord without ever stopping. Then Satyaraj asked, who is a Vaishnava? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one who chants the holy name once is a Vaishnava. The next year, the same conversation took place. What is the duty in life? Vaishnava Sevana Niranta Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Okay, serving the Vaishnavas. Who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one who is chanting all the time. Okay, the third year, again, the same discussion took place. Yes, what is the duty in life? Vaishnava Sevana Niranta Krishna Nama Sankirtan, to serve the Vaishnavas and to always incessantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one who simply by seeing him makes everyone chant Hare Krishna. Simply by his presence he makes everyone chant Hare Krishna. So here we saw in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained three levels of devotees. The Kanista Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, the Uttama Adhikari. Or the neophyte devotee, who somehow or other chants once, but his faith is not very strong. The neophyte is still banking on material security. There is a simple story that illustrates the point very nicely. It's about there was a man who was doing some repairs on his house on the roof. And he was working on the roof and everything was going fine until suddenly he slipped and he starts sliding down, and just at the last point he managed to grab the edge of the roof. Oh, thank God, saved. Then he tried to pull himself up, but because he never did any exercise and because, you know, maybe some too much weight also, he couldn't do it. He couldn't pull himself up onto that roof. So he's hanging there and he realized, I'm not saved. I'm not saved at all. How long can I hang here? Yeah? It's just, you know, a matter of minutes now. And he was hanging on the roof like that with two hands. And he started praying, oh my God, please save me. Suddenly a voice behind him. Need any help? Oh, who are you? I am God. Oh Lord, please, please save me. All right. Just let go of the roof and I will catch you. can't you catch me first? and then I'll let go of the roof, you see. So this is Kanista, the neophyte devotee. The neophyte devotee is, yeah, if I'm giving up all my material enjoyment and so on, in the hope that I will get a lot of spiritual realization, what if I don't get it? Then I've given up everything and I don't get the spiritual thing and then I have nothing. Better I keep my material securities nicely, and then, yes, when I get some realization, then I'll give up this material enjoyment. Yes. So if Krishna gives me the mercy, yes, then I will do it. So this is Kanista, weak faith. And in this way one cannot advance very much. The Madhyama Adhikari is very serious. It is interesting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in the second year, he said to Satyaraj Khan, a devotee is one who chants all the time. And it says, like, so a Madhyama Adhikari, the intermediate devotee, is one who is always eager to take shelter of the Lord. He's always chanting, he's always hearing, he's always serving. He's always he's making Krishna his priority. His faith is firm. He has faith that happiness is found with Krishna. He's not thinking that, well, there are so many things that are so good in this world, how can I give them up? He thinks, no. This world is simply Dukhaliyam Asaswatam, a place where everything is temporary, it is full of misery. No, I will focus on Krishna. Madhyama Adhikari. So this is the stage of devotional service where one becomes a serious devotee. Sometimes it is said that up to that point, spiritual life is a struggle. And once one gets to that point of becoming very, very fixed, then spiritual life becomes full of taste and inspiration. The Uttama Adhikari, the topmost devotee, we find such descriptions about the six Goswamis, about Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paru Premam Ritambo Nidhi. It says they were always engaged in Krishna Utkirtan, in loudly chanting the glories of Krishna, and they were absorbed in Premam Ritambo, in an ocean of transcendental love of God. That was their constant experience. So Sanatana Goswami was such a devotee. It is described that in the Bhakti Ratnakar, we find some descriptions about Sanatan Goswami. We find descriptions that Sanatan Goswami was directly perceiving Krishna and also the pastimes of Krishna, of Radha and Krishna. This is not surprising. In his Chaitanya Chandramrita, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati makes an interesting statement. He is describing how when a devotee becomes advanced, let us say, as a devotee becomes more and more advanced, he becomes fixed in his devotional service. He reaches nistha. He is fixed in his meditation on the Supreme Lord, the Madhyam Adhikari. So, but when one becomes still more advanced to the topmost platform of devotional service, one enters into bhava. In that stage of bhava, it is said one is deeply attached to Krishna. One is full of ecstasy, glorifying and serving Krishna. And it is said that in bhava, by Srila Prabodhananda, it is said that in bhava, Krishna enters into the meditation of the devotee. So it's no longer just that the devotee is meditating on Krishna and trying to remember Krishna, but Krishna manifests himself. Sanatana Goswami was such a devotee. Bhakti Ratnakar describes how Sanatana Goswami decided to simply fast and not bother with making any arrangements for his sustenance to eat or anything. And Krishna personally came and brought him some milk, so it is said. Although he didn't recognize him, just like Madhavendra Puri. There's also a story in Bhakti Ratnakar which describes how one time Rupa Goswami was an empowered writer. And Rupa Goswami had been writing about Srimata Radharani, and he had described how her hair had a braid on the back, was tightened like a braid, and that he described that her hair was like a black snake. So he wrote this down. And he went for his noon bath, and he gave the manuscript to Sanatana Goswami to read. So Sanatana Goswami was reading, and he thought, like, oh, this is too much. How can he describe the hair of Srimati Radharani like a black snake? That's not very respectful. So he was thinking, when he'll come. Sanatana Goswami was the elder brother and the senior, so he thought, well, when he'll come back, I'll talk to him about this, that this is maybe not appropriate. Meanwhile, he sat down to chant on the banks of Radhakund, and suddenly, on the other side, he saw some girls playing, and with a group of girls, and suddenly they were throwing a ball, and suddenly he saw how there was a black snake on the back of one of them. He called out loudly, "Snake, snake, snake!" Girls are looking, "Snake, where's the snake?" And he came running, and then he said, "Where's the snake?" And he pointed at the snake, "There, on her back." And all the girls laughed and said, "That's not a snake, that's her hair." And then these girls disappeared. So later, when Rupa Goswami came back and asked, "So, what did you think of what I wrote today?" Sanatana Goswami said, "Oh, it was very good. I really liked it, especially that part about the black snake." I thought, that was very good. So we see what kind of devotees are these personalities? They are directly getting the mercy of the Lord. They are so intimate, so close, that the Lord is personally revealing himself. The Lord and his associates, Srimati Radharani, and so on. That kind of devotee. These kind of devotees absorbed in an ocean of transcendental love are within this world, yet they are not within this world. They are in the spiritual world. Such kind of devotees. So Sanatana Goswami is such a topmost devotee. And therefore, we must all take shelter of Sanatana Goswami. We all are following in the footsteps of Srila Sanatana Goswami, of Srila Rupa Goswami. Without taking shelter of the Goswamis, it's not possible to attain Krishna. Therefore, our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is, or also known as the Hare Krishna movement, is a movement which is very carefully following the teachings of the Goswamis, the six Goswamis, Rupa, Sanatan, and additional Goswamis, who are giving us the proper path of becoming purified. One cannot simply spontaneously declare his love for Krishna. That is fine. But how deep is that love? It is by following the process that is offered by the Acharyas, such as Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, that we are becoming purified and developing true depth in love. At this stage, we don't even know what love is. We have a very shallow understanding, a very shallow experience. Whatever love we have experienced, how deep is it really in comparison to the love that exists in the relationship of Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world. Therefore, Krishna sends his representatives into this world. And Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were such representatives who were here in this world to establish Saddharma Samstapako, to establish the true principles of religion. Therefore, it's nice that today in this summer festival, somehow or other, the verse came to Sanatan Goswami. Because we may not be aware what this tradition is, but it is a fact that this Hare Krishna movement is an ancient tradition from India, a tradition which was taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then his disciples, Srila Rupa, Srila Sanatan Goswami and others, they established the path of devotional service. And therefore, for us now, it's become very simple. Very simple. Mahajana yena gatasa panta. We simply need to follow in the footsteps of great personalities. So Srila Prabhupada, he came as the representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the representative of the six Goswamis. And it is very interesting. Some years ago, there was a learned devotee who made comments about Srila Prabhupada's books. And he said that actually in the commentaries that Prabhupada wrote on the verses, there are mostly quotes from the previous Acharyas. They are not at all Prabhupada's purports. They're actually the quotes of the previous Acharyas. That is true. He thought that it was to the discredit of Prabhupada. We think that it is to the credit of Prabhupada that he actually took simply everything that all the previous Acharyas gave, whatever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, and that he brought that to us very nicely, systematically presented, so that anyone can understand. And in this way, through Srila Prabhupada, we have all the access to all the wealth of our tradition. And that is very wonderful. So that is here available in Radhadesh. That knowledge is preserved here in this movement. And therefore, this summer festival gives us an opportunity to make that connection. And some are already connected. Many of us, of course, are practicing devotees. And we have the opportunity to go deeper. Therefore, temples like Radhadesh are not ordinary. In India, now that Maharaj is here, I'm remembering India. You know, it's like not only India, also Mayapur, which is even better. But in India, there are many places where temples are situated. For example, Tirupati or Nathadwar. And these temples are very, very famous. If you go to a place like Nathadwar, where the deity is Nathji, the whole town is dedicated to the deity. There are many guest houses in the town. There's a temple in the middle with the deity, and many people come to visit. And in every guest house, they wake you up for Mangal Aarti. Yeah? There's no way that they just let you stay in the every guest house. And those are not owned by the temple. They're private guest houses, but they wake you up for Mangal Aarti. They come to your door in the morning, they wake you up. And then you go to the temple, and yes, and then people come for darshan, right? And then in front of the deities, there are some men with topis, like little hats, golden little hats, right? And they have a cloth. And if you just stand in front of the deity with folded hands, they beat you with the cloth. They say, bow down. They beat you. And they make everyone bow down. So everyone, fool, you have to go down. Okay. And they're beating with the cloth. So these places, like Nathadwar, these places, they become so famous that people, they go from everywhere. Huge crowds are coming to such temples. And India has many such places. Huge crowds of people go because they come from far. And by foot sometimes. They take so much trouble to go there. Somehow or other, by his arrangement, the Lord has manifested himself here as Sisi Radha Gopinath, who are so beautiful and so sweet, and just bringing us Vrindavan right here in Belgium, somewhere in the forest. And in this way, here a place of pilgrimage has come into existence. Something very precious, a great treasure, a great opportunity. And we are so fortunate that we can take advantage of that. And then in these festivals, we can take advantage of remembering Krishna in various ways, either through culture, through dance, through song, through kirtan, or by hearing from sadhus who come from far, like Maharaj, all the way from India, to bring some transcendental knowledge. In that way, we come again and again to this place, because here the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is available in abundance. It is a large storehouse of that mercy of the Lord. And therefore, it is a wonderful facility. Whoever built this castle, he built it to live here nicely with his family. Little did he know what he was building it for. All along, brick after brick, he was arranging for a temple of the Lord. And that man who built this castle, how much is he blessed? Each time when someone comes and makes spiritual advancement, he shares in that. He's very fortunate. Very fortunate. Wherever he is now, very fortunate soul. So this Radhadesh is a wonderful place. And therefore we're very happy to be here all together in your association. Thank you very much. Any question? Any comment? Yes. Okay. There are in devotional service, we see that Srila Rupa Goswami has given us a description of the process of devotional service. And he has divided that process in various categories, Vairi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Vairi Bhakti means following devotional service by rules and regulations. Raganuga Bhakti means spontaneous devotional service. Vairi Bhakti, or following the rules and regulations, is in the beginning stages of devotional service. And these beginning stages of devotional service are that one must simply follow a discipline, because the mind and the senses are not controlled. And the mind and senses, yeah, they have a life of their own. And if one simply follows the mind and the senses, then one will never become fixed. Therefore, one has to follow a discipline. This is Vairi Bhakti. So, only in very advanced stages of devotional service can one really practice spontaneous devotional service. Gradually one can become a little more spontaneous. If in the beginning we become spontaneous, then where will that take us? It will take us down to the mundane platform, because it's not so advanced. It is said, I'll give you a story to show you how an advanced devotee of the Lord was thinking, and then we understand what spontaneous devotional service is. It is described that Uddhava, who is a close associate of Krishna, totally attached to Krishna, one day saw this beautiful young girl, and Uddhava somehow or other felt very attracted to her. So he was surprised. What's happening to me? How can I be attracted to this girl so much? I'm attracted to her practically as much as to Krishna. I think it's Krishna dressed up like a girl. And it was. When we're at that stage, then spontaneous devotional service, Raganuga Bhakti, is very suitable. And then definitely, then the rules and regulations are no longer so important. Then one just follows his moods. But for us, better regulation. Therefore, Mangalarti and so on, and the temple program, which keeps us in a regulation. That is Vairi Bhakti. For us who are not like Uddhava, when we are attracted to a girl, usually it's not Krishna. So what to do? What to do? So this Raganuga is for very advanced devotees. It's good to understand that there is something like that, but one must be patient, not jump ahead. Okay, I think we'll take a little break and then continue later in the day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Purusottam Maharaj ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda ki. Maharaj has the Nrsingha oil. Don't go. Please stay, because Maharaj brought some special mercy from Mayapur. Okay, we'll go there.
Kram Kramanas. Yeah, Samamit Parvida Mark.